It's time to know your lane.
That would be hysterical if you looked at the waiver wire the next day. There's a bunch of guys, age, lack of production, injuries. It just says this guy's name and mummy.
Mommy.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Toronto people, on Saturday at 5 o'clock, we will be conjuring, is that a word?
It is, but you're not using it properly. Yeah,
we will be meeting.
Gathering.
Congregating.
Congregating.
I like conjuring, though.
No, that's not the same.
We're going to gather at the Old Orchard Pub on Bishop Street.
Why would you pick that spot?
It's right near the Sheridan. It's a good spot. I've been there numerous times. 5 o'clock go time.
The Old Orchard Pub.
Okay. All right. So if you're in town, Jersey guy, Leaf fan, Habs fans.
They're invited too. It's all a friendly thing. No ill will.
Yeah.
A little bit of a get together and then head to the rink for a big game on Saturday night. I like that.
Yeah. Jersey is staying at home.
You're not going to even pack Austin Matthews jersey? What about the alumni jacket?
That's a no guy.
No guy?
I'm going.
Just regular Jeff.
Regular guy.
You're Jeffrey. You'll be Jeffrey on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So yes, there guy. You have it. Those are the plans. Leafs Habs Saturday night. I will be off tomorrow. Scotty Mack will be in here teeing up the game with you guys. So keep him in order.
We will.
Or maybe he has to keep you in order. Ray's coming up here momentarily. Do you guys want to hear this audio we were teasing in the previous hour?
We need to hear it.
I mean, generally speaking, we wouldn't play audio like this to kick off an hour.
Right.
But I feel like this is the next big viral video that everyone's going to be talking about.
Sure.
And we'll see if it's possible for any of us to get this angered about something so inconsequential, something so...
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Let's
okay. So this is a teacher that obviously got videotaped. Let's play it. We'll come back and react.
Say it. No pomegranates.
No pomegranates. No pomegranates. No pomegranates.
Come on.
No pomegranates.
No pomegranates. No pomegranates. No, 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 no pomegranates. None. I don't want them anywhere near here. Am I clear? Say the rule again. No pomegranates!
What the hell is she talking about?
No pomegranate.
I don't know if Mulz could pull this up.
But is she talking about like a salad someone made
like
for
her? Like the pomegranate,
like a shrub or
the fruit. Or
yeah,
whatever.
The little fruit.
I know, but what is it? Like, what is it?
I don't know.
Maybe
like, maybe
allergic.
A pomegranate had an affair with her husband or something. But
either way, somebody brought that in, and like maybe a kid, and it agitated her.
Have you ever been that angry in your life about anything, let alone a pomegranate that someone showed up to class with?
You know what that reminded me of? You may not remember this. Do you remember the movie Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah.
And the guy's like, is she right?
The last thing I can remember that.
And then he starts yelling, because I was up to my knees.
That was
Sam Kinison.
Sam Kinison.
I don't know if you could pull that up.
That's
Sam,
a great...
And we say, say it! Say it! He's screaming in her face.
Yeah.
That reminds me of that.
The last time I've heard something like... If I can think of the time, the last time I was that mad is when I got the A for the first time in my career, and after one game it got stripped. Because I took a stupid penalty and smashed my stick over the glass. Next day, gone.
So the A being revoked is your pomegranate.
Yeah. I walked into Palmer, like the only time I've ever raised my voice at a coach anything. I went in and I told that guy to F off probably 55 times in 12 seconds.
Noodles, do you have a pomegranate?
No, I don't.
Let's ask Steph.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you could ask Steph. I don't know. I
can't think of a pomegranate.
I can't think
for
of
me.
Something like where I'm screaming that.
We had a pomegranate moment on this show.
Well,
you guys have gone at it before, but that's on the air stuff where emotions get fired up, and This is like.
But I don't even know if it was that. Like ours was.
It wasn't
intense,
this heated.
It wasn't like
pomegranate
that.
Heat. That's a different level
it's
of rage.
It's almost like she's trying to act like a movie. Like, or, I don't know. It's like, is it drama class?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe there needs to be more context. But it seemed like at the end, like she sounded like she was like possessed.
No, pomegranates!
Imagine that's your teacher. How could you keep a straight face?
I guarantee you she's a grit grinder.
Oh, the grittiest of grinders. Like Babcock was mad last night, but not pomegranate mad.
No pomegranate!
Jesus. Like, I just wonder.
Christ.
Like, I wonder, like, will coaches throughout the sports world look at that and say, what are we doing wrong? Like, she's freaking over pomegranate. I've got a team that's lost five in a row.
That lady, if that's for real, like, if that's not drama class, she needs to be removed from the class.
But what if you need a sabbatical?
Let me hear the
couple
no pomegranates, please.
No pomegranates.
That guarantee you, like she's frothing at the mouth, too.
Dude. That is insane.
Malls, get like the last part where she's like, "Do you understand me?" And she sounds like she's in The Exorcist.
Yeah,
it's kind of scary. Like, yeah, play from about there, and let's play it out
you
here.
You hear me? I don't want them anywhere near here. Am I clear? Say the rule again. No pomegranate!
I feel like nuts. Ray would hate pomegranate for some reason.
We got to play it for him.
Well,
play
he's on the line. He's heard.
You heard that?
Yeah. Here's Ray Ferraro, our hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline.
Ray, what would you do if your kids brought that little nugget home and said, this was our teacher regarding pomegranates today?
Oh, probably would turn around and head right back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a pomegranate and put it right on her desk. First of all, that's one of those foods, way too much work.
Yeah, it's got seeds and stuff, right?
Yeah, like way too much work to like they eat it. Like, did she get one stuck in her toenail or something?
Somewhere else, I'm guessing, buddy.
Yeah, that is a crazy woman.
I called it a shrub, and I'm getting chirped. Like,
yeah, it's not a shrub. You know what I would do? I would, like, if I was another teacher, if she survives till tomorrow, I would fill her car with pomegranates, like every single inch of her car with pomegranates.
Like, I'd really, I know people get, they have certain things that, that tweak them or get into their kitchen. I'm not quite sure what the possible annoyance of pomegranates could be.
Ray, the big boy is going down tomorrow. He's having surgery, and he's got a couple options. He's got the just fix my knee so I can do my job as a broadcaster and sit on my ass, or totally fix it, where in the future he might be able to be athletic again. What should he do?
I need a little more information here, Ol, because how could knee surgery possibly make him athletic?
No, but he might want to play men's league or something in a couple years.
Run with his daughter it's just, in the backyard.
Yeah,
get it fixed, man.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, we're exaggerating a bit. I'm not actually just going to sit on my ass the rest of my life if I get the one option. But we were joking off the top because I've got the bucket handle meniscus tear.
Sorry, did somebody from Vancouver diagnose that over the phone?
Why, is that what it sounds like?
That's what he said.
That's what I
said
told
the
you.
First day.
Is like, that what you
called? You're running around trying to find a doctor. I told you what you had.
Okay, so there you go. Yeah, you called it.
And I'm not even in med school. How hard can that be?
Right. Well, you don't have a meniscus, do you? I thought you got yours taken out.
No, right? I had a bucket handle. They fixed that. That was months. And then they clipped it the next time, and that was 10 days, and I played again. That was a dumb move. But anyway.
Well, see, that's basically the options here, right? But these are professionals. They're surgeons, and they're kind of... They're hockey guys, and they're referencing, like, Stamkos had it, and I'm thinking, I'm not Stamkos. Like, I'm not thinking about making it back for a playoff push, so I just kind of want to get everything back to 100% and be able to go to the gym and walks and do whatever, but I'm
okay,
not.
Okay, I should talk to you about this after, but basically, get it fixed right.
Okay. All right. That's your
Because
goal.
You're young, you got... you had a long, long time that you want to be active, and the other way is it should be fine, but you'll end up with arthritis later in life.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
That's the mature answer. Thank you,
yeah,
Raimondo.
Other people are voting, and I think it's like 56% are saying just be a slob and lay on the couch.
Right.
Well, I mean, you could do your job like that.
Well, technically, you're right. I mean, I've been doing it for 2 weeks. I'm hobbling around, and I'm still in here, so I guess nothing would really change.
You know what would be awesome? Your wife's probably voting for the quick fix so you can actually do something again.
Right. Well, you're craving your independence, right? I just want to get back to regular life, but I'm with you. I mean, I told the surgeon, I'm like, do whatever you think is right. What do I know? I mean, just if you think you can get it back to 100%, let's rock and roll, and I'll deal with the repercussions.
Hey, you just got to do your rehab.
That's right. I'm a semi-professional athlete at one point in my life, so...
By the way, Stamkos, does he have his number retired anywhere?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not yet.
Do you?
Not retired, but I was a part of a ceremonial puck drop.
Yes.
Well, see, I think that... I'm going to say it's retired, so I think, you know... I think that, that puts you into his status. Don't sell yourself short. You're a tremendous slouch.
Hey, we both played in the Olympics the same amount of times.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Right? So let's be honest here. Leafs coming off a loss last night. We've been all kind of looking at it a little bit differently. I got to give credit to New Jersey. I mean, I kind of goof on them as an organization from time to time. But they're young. They're skilled. They're quick. They got talent. They brought it last night.
Goalie's real good.
Corey Schneider can play. You know, like they... I don't know what this means for the rest of the season, but I got to be honest, I was impressed with the way they played last night. So I don't think it's as easy as, oh, the Leafs were brutal, so that's why they won.
And Ray, every time a GM comes into an organization, you're thinking, like, what the hell are you going to do with that bunch of, like, that mess? And you know what? You got to give credit to Ray Shiro. That's turning the page there. That's a good start for that group.
See, the one thing they have that's lucky along those lines is that you can be in New Jersey and it can be kind of quiet while you're going about it.
Yeah.
Like you're in another market and people are losing their minds while he's trading players away, he's accumulating draft picks, he's, you know, hopefully his scouts are making good picks, but you can, you know, you can be a little more methodical with your approach. Then they had a bunch of cap space, and because they had traded and gotten a bunch of draft picks, they can take Marcus Johansson on from Washington. They don't have to trade a player back. They can just trade one of their accumulated draft picks. Like, they can use their cap space as a weapon. And now they've got those... I mean, they were flying last night.
Yeah, they
were. It was good... It was good to watch them play. And how many times do you say that about New Jersey over the last 5 years?
Not very often.
No, I agree.
Not very often.
Ray, I want to jump in here, though. We were talking about it. It's a lot of skill on display last night. But for me, it's still the parade to the penalty box. And you hope that guys learn. But it's a little frustrating to watch. I mean, it's a special teams game now. And it's at some point, I'm hoping a month from now, that the guys figure it out. But right now, it's a bit much. And the entertainment value for me isn't as high. I know we watch the games because of work, because we enjoy it. But I still want guys to learn a little bit quicker because it's a bit of a struggle.
I'm sure the coaches want them to learn quicker, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you watch those guys when they go to the penalty box and they look up at the clock and they see the penalty, you don't often see them, like, lose their mind.
Right.
When they look at it and it's kind of like they go, I guess that's a penalty. You know, like, yeah. They see it, but forever you've been doing it the other way. And my hope is the league stays at it and that by Christmas, there are less guys whacking at other people's hands.
Yeah.
And then there's less penalties. And then then it becomes the new normal. Because right now the normal is too many penalties. But if they back off, we all know what's going to happen. If they come off the standard at all,
right,
it's right back to the wood chopper's ball again.
Yeah.
And how many, like, when Gardner comes back yesterday on that 5-on-3, wouldn't you just chop the guy's hands as you were going by? You can't do it anymore.
He probably should have done it anyway, quite frankly. But.
Well, but the weird part of that, when I rewound that thing, because it looked funny to me, and I looked at it three or four times, Henrique didn't even shoot the puck. And so, Noodles, you tell me, but as the play goes through, Nylander actually pokes it off his stick.
Yeah.
If you're expecting the shot to come at a certain point and a certain time from Henrique, and then it comes straight at you off a Nylander stick, would that not be why that rebound just punted right off him back to the slot?
Yeah, and actually, I thought the rebound, it seems to me that it touches Nylander's stick again with a redirection.
Oh, on the way back into the net.
On the way back in, yeah.
Yes. I mean, so, Nylander, I don't think he did anything really wrong. He actually pokes the puck away, but yeah, it hits the goalie. The shot goes, and it hits him, and it goes in. Yet, from the far end of the ice, there's no way they should be able to come out there like
no
that.
Way. No yeah. way. And Jake Gardner, last night was a bad Jake night.
Yeah, that was bad Jake skate around Jake
yeah,
last
it was,
night.
Yeah, it was bad Jake night. And this is the truth, that he's just, he will never convert the fans that don't like his style of play. Because I think unfairly what happens is, the fans that don't like him attach themselves to that game and will hold on to that for weeks. Because I think he's played pretty well the first three games.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was their best defenseman a year ago. And I still think he has an opportunity to be their best defenseman throughout this season. Last night he had a really poor game. But it seems like when he has a poor game, it's not just in a way where you're like, I guess he didn't make that right. It's like an explosive mistake.
Right.
That makes sense. It's like a flamboyantly bad game.
Mm-hmm. And there are some players that can make that same mistake, but because it happens more rarely, or there's not such a big swing to their game, it just kind of gets swept away. But when Gardner does it, it looks like a full-out brain cramp.
Yeah.
Like when he goes to wherever that place is, you're like, I can't even believe that's the same guy. I can't believe he's grown as much as he has over the last couple of years. I still have that vision of, in the bad year a couple of years ago, somebody flipped the puck over his head, and he tried to knock it down. It was about 4 feet above his head.
He did that four or five times right in the last few years.
Yeah.
Remember? And you're like, well, what is he even doing? Like, if you knock it down, you can't play it anyway. Just turn around and go get it. But all that stuff's been, for the most part, it evaporated. And then he lays an egg last night. Well, they weren't going to win them all. Now they get back to work tomorrow. I was just on a Montreal radio. You can imagine what it's like there. About the fact they can't score and they've got to come with a better effort. And they had a day off today and they're going to work hard tomorrow and be ready to go Saturday. Like, Toronto's going to have a difficult game Saturday, but they got to get back on the beam. That's, you try and minimize your bad times and maximize when it's rolling. It also would help. I mean, this is the second October in a row. I mean, it's only four games, but Anderson's in the 860s in save percent, or 870s in save percentage. It's just not good enough for him. We've already seen it. He's better than that.
Yep. Yeah, it's strange. I mean, he started so well. He played so well in Winnipeg. And
well,
since then, he's given up a lot of goals. Team defense is what it is. I mean, there are breakdowns, but he's given up a lot of goals.
Well, they've given up 14 goals in three games. So, like, that's the one thing. If you look at the goals against the team and the save percentage, if you didn't know they were 3-1, you would say, wow, that's a really bad start. Like, just statistically, if you didn't know that. But what we can't lose sight of is this team has been ridiculously talented offensively, which has been basically what's bailed them out.
They're three and one because they can score like
exactly.
They can.
So I'll take 3-1 and work on my defense any day of the
week. Every day of the week.
See, I think quietly the coaches like when the guys crap the bed like last night.
We said that earlier, Ray. I agree.
They like it. Now they're like, do you think tomorrow anybody's going to go in there and feel really great about themselves? They're going to be there ready to work, ready to listen, ready to, okay, let's bury this thing. Every once in a while, I think they like that because they're like, finally, I'm not talking to guys that think that they're so great.
So there's an interesting story going on with the Winnipeg Jets because Dustin Byfuglien didn't play their most recent game, lower body injury. I believe he's already been ruled out for their next game, but they were out in BC. They had some time off, and I guess he and a teammate, they went fishing on the Tuesday. So he didn't play the Monday night.
Him and Matt Hendricks went out with a guide.
He and Hendricks, and Hendricks is injured too, went out there with a guide, caught a massive fish, was posted online. And now,
10 feet long sturgeon.
Oh, it's this thing is a mutant
fish.
It's a
dinosaur.
It's a dinosaur of a fish. But obviously in Winnipeg, they're like, wait a minute, you didn't play last night, you're injured, yet you're out fishing. And
he wasn't chasing the fish in the river. Yeah.
Paul Maurice had it. Paul Maurice has lots of good lines, you know, in the course of his media stuff. He said today, you realize he was standing there.
Yeah.
He did not at any point wrestle that fish.
The fish is ridiculous how big it is.
And now, I'll be honest, I would be way more concerned if you went golfing yesterday, which lots of guys did. And lots of guys, I'm surprised they didn't run into the Ottawa Senators who were here too.
Yeah.
They leave tomorrow, or what's today, Thursday? Yeah, they leave tomorrow. They leave this afternoon. Must have been a lot of competition at the Roxy. Yeah. Over the last week. But so had he gone golfing, I would have said, hey, wait a minute. You got a lower body injury and you're playing golf? Like, that doesn't make any sense. To stand there with a fishing line or whatever they catch that thing with, I don't even think about it. I don't think it's an issue. I don't think people have, like, what do they think the guys are doing? Was he supposed to be in traction yesterday, or?
Well, just, you know what it is. People think that they don't want to see you having fun. You're banged up. They just don't want to see what you're doing. That's the unfortunate part about social media is if that wasn't posted, which I would have suggested Matt Hendricks don't post it.
Right.
Then we wouldn't know about it.
It's all about the optics.
I think remember Vladimir Malakhov's out skiing.
Right.
That was dumb.
But that's dumb. That's dumb. I mean, by all accounts, the Jets, I'm assuming, were aware that Bufflin was doing it.
Sure.
But I will say this. It also comes down to the timing. And you've got a situation there where you've got a coach who's on the hot seat in the market. You've got a team that is horrible defensively, and I would argue the guy who gets away with more than anyone is Bufflin because he can be awful defensively.
Yeah.
Right. And Maurice just gives him free pass after free pass after free pass. And right. I could see if I'm a Jets fan sitting there saying, here we go, another free pass for Maurice. Go ahead, go fishing. You're not playing. Go ahead and do whatever you want. And I can see why a Jets fan would look at this and say, this guy can do whatever he wants. Yeah. Bufflin can do whatever he wants, and he's got 4 years left at $7.6 million. And who's going to stop him? Like, yeah. I'm with you guys.
Okay, I'm hearing you, and I hear where the fans' frustration is. And what's he supposed to do? Like, is he supposed to be back at the hotel shooting pucks into the ballroom wall?
I think Matt Sundin, he took it in Vancouver a couple times. Like when he signed there, because he didn't play very much, and then the All-Star break showed up.
Yeah, he went to Whistler and was hanging out in Whistler.
And people were like, "Come on, dude! Like you played two games, and you, like shouldn't you be training or skating?" I don't know.
But that's the thing that does come with the territory when you're
it's
you get paid a lot of money. You're a professional athlete. You're
Brian,
a public
you just
figure.
Said it. Optics. Everything's optics. Wasn't it a couple years ago that Ryan Nugent Hopkins, I believe, was turning 21 and was injured at the end of the season. And it was at him and Eberle and Hall went down to Vegas. And they were, you know, at the bar, a couple pictures or whatever. Edmonton fans were going nuts, saying, like, this guy's had surgery or this guy's banged up. Like, it's June or whatever it is. People think they're just supposed to be training. They're not supposed to.
And that's the disconnect.
To live your life.
It is the disconnect. And you guys can speak to it because you're actually in that world. Like, you still, when you leave the rink, you're on your free time.
But the optics of it, that's the problem. The optics is, as
and especially
fan,
with that team, because again, the vibe that I pick up on is there is no discipline with them. None with the Winnipeg Jets. They are a disaster.
You know what would cure it is if they're 4-0.
Well, of course. Very different vibe.
When you're winning all the time, you do whatever you want.
Winning,
off days,
you
or
do anything.
Golfing,
you dust everything under the carpet when you win. But when you lose, they start to lift up that carpet and pull
it
out.
It's amazing on the plane or on the back of the bus, the negotiating or throwing thoughts out. should we go golfing tomorrow? Nah, we're not playing that good. We can't get caught dead out there. When you're winning, you're like, let's bring strippers.
I don't know about that.
Well, whatever. You're doing whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There. See, I mean, he was asked this morning. I'm doing the game today, and he was asked this morning, and his, you know, like he knows it's coming, but you could just see in his demeanor of, ah, for you know what's sake, like it's not like to them, it didn't seem like there was a problem. Bufflin was skating this morning.
Yeah,
you know, he's out there this morning. He looked fine to me, but they're going to hold him out another day, which means they play Saturday, and then they have two games in 11 days. So if his lower body issue, and I don't know this, is a groin, well, he didn't hurt it fishing. I don't fish, but I think it would be hard to hurt your groin fishing. And if they hold him out Saturday or play him Saturday, he's only got to play, you know, he's got plenty of time to be healthy. It's a long year. They got a monster of a division to try to make the playoffs in. And if they win tonight, now they're back to 500 and they can exhale a little bit. But this to me is not a an issue. But I see why people get
how people get fired up.
Yeah,
you get fired up. You follow your team, you track your team, and things are going south. You can make a mountain out of a molehill. All right, buddy. Good chatting with you.
Make sure you get your rest tomorrow. You know, it's important you're rested for surgery.
Yeah, I plan on it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have a good night's sleep tonight on my very own MyPillow.
You know what? I really hope that your doctor is really doing all the right things tonight. You just never know.
That's a good point.
That's a very good
point. What if they operated on the wrong leg?
This guy's just hanging from the rafters at the brass rail right
now. What if he's out fishing? And he's using his surgery hand.
Well, then I would have problems with the optics. I would take issue with the optics.
It's the doctor from the Cannonball Run. They just slide open the van door and the guy's eyes are facing the other way.
I'm sure the guy's done it before. I'm sure he'll do a decent job.
I hope so. You'll find out quickly. I'll let you know.
I'll be looking for a report. Good luck to you.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you whenever you get back.
You got it.
Later, boys.
There he is, Ray Ferraro. He will be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline.
We'll
check out
then.
The.
We'll chat then.
He's got a liner.
I know. Go ahead. Finish it.
Check out the new 2018s and get rates starting at 0% plus 5,000 Aeroplan miles with every purchase. MapleToyota.com.
Yes, Guy.
Michael Lombardi will join us. An update on Ezekiel Elliott and his status. You're going to want to hear this. We'll tell you about it next. Thursday night or tonight, Panthers at home to the Eagles. Phillies at 4-1. Carolina's at 4-1. Two top teams in the NFC right there with the Packers. I mean, that's about it. And the expectations were high for the Dallas Cowboys this year, but they're at 2-3. They have not looked very impressive. And one of the many cords that has been sucked into this Ezekiel Elliott suspension ruled in favor of the NFL today. So technically, logistically, Elliott is suspended immediately. But they have a bye week, and no one actually believes this is over yet because they'll find a different court to take it on. It's a three-ring circus. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. And I have to believe he's probably going to get a stay, and then he'll keep playing.
If I were the player, I would have been like, you know what? I've seen Goodell before going after the Patriots, Brady. He's not going to let this go away.
He's serving six games.
So I would have done it right away.
Well, and now they're at 2-3.
Yeah, you got this week would have been his last, or the next game would have been his last one.
Right. Right. And they'd probably be 2-3 anyway, even without him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gong show there.
And then you've got Jerry Jones threatening anyone that does anything during the anthem. Feels like that season is
The Cowboys just can't stay on the
consistently
positive
good.
Yeah,
it's, never.
You know it's going to go sideways.
Yep. He is former Browns GM, longtime NFL executive with many different teams, a great NFL analyst. Back on the show, here is Michael Lombardi. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
We're doing really well. Perfect world, if you were counseling Ezekiel Elliott, how would you suggest he handle this?
Well, you know, look, past performance predicts future achievement, right? So, I mean, Tom Brady, and I happen to be there at the Patriots and still don't understand the flight gate and really don't understand what he was charged with and what he did. But he served his four games because as high as he went into the courts, he couldn't win it because this has been collectively bargained. I mean, the commissioner, it's been proven he has the authority to make these decisions. This wasn't just granted to him by 32 owners. This was collectively bargained by the players' representatives that for the players. So you can't get around it. And in the courts of count, you can move and you can process and you can duke and duck. And Brady did it for a year. And maybe Zeke can do it for a year. But eventually, as you guys were saying before I came on, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to pay the price. And Goodell's not going to go away with it. I mean, he's going to stay on it because this protects his integrity as the firm hand and the disciplined commissioner that he was elected for on that platform. We seem to forget this. And I don't think it's going to go away.
At 2-3, do you think maybe the Cowboys are regretting not just telling them, hey, do it? Like, sit, find a way to sit here, because even without him, I think they'd be 2-3.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. They could easily be 1-1, and you know, they could be 1-4 with, you know, look, the Cowboys, as you guys were talking about before I came on, their year is way down. I mean, look, Zeke averaged 8 yards per pass attempt last year. This year he's down about 6-7. Every player on offense is down about 4 yards. You know, Terrence Williams down 4 yards. Cole Beasley's down 2 yards. Des Bryant's down 3 yards, and Jason Witten's down a yard, which for a tight end is substantial. So, you know, what happens to teams when you win in the NFL, if you don't go into the offseason with some form of way to change what you do and improve on what you do, and you try to do the same things the next year, and they're coming hunting for you, they're going to get you. And that's what's happened to Dallas in these first 5 weeks. People have gotten them. I mean, they shouldn't have lost to the Rams game. For some reason, you know, they're winning in the game against the Rams. They have a double-digit lead, and they run it 8 times in the second half. And then this week against the Packers, I don't know if I would have gone. Look, when I lost the Tuck game, I still wake up in the middle of the night thinking about the Tuck rule. Jason Garrett lost to Green Bay last year with 35 seconds on the clock and no time. And he allowed Aaron Rodgers to come down the field and kick a field goal to beat him. I would have never, ever, within a million years, have given Aaron Rodgers the ball back. With a timeout plus another minute to go, I mean, we've lived this before, right?
We have.
Yeah.
We've been down this road many times with longtime NFL exec Michael Lombardi. Great Thursday nighter tonight. In fact, the NFL has been pretty lucky. They've scheduled some really, really quality Thursday night games.
Better than last year. Last year's were brutal.
Seems like every year since they've implemented, they've been terrible. But this is as good as it gets. I mean, 4-1 Panthers, 4-1 Eagles. How do you see this playing out?
Interesting. Both teams are really similar. And, you know, the Eagles are a little bit of a, I don't want to call them a Ponzi scheme in a sense, but they've been very fortunate because they are 11 for 26 on third and 10 or more, which is phenomenal. I mean, the average of that down and distance to convert a third down is about 10%. And they're doing it at a high rate. And they lead the league in not having very many three and outs. They have the least amount of three and outs of anybody because they've been able to convert these long down distance. And what makes it more fascinating is the 26 third and 10 or more puts them in the company of the Cleveland Browns and some of the bad offenses in the National Football League. So they're kind of like, well, how are they doing this? Well, they're doing it because Wentz is really hard to tackle in the pocket. He can escape rushers. He gets away and he makes plays on the move. And I think the Panthers have to handle that. The Panthers are just as good on third down, maybe not as good as third and long, but they convert. Both teams can keep the ball away from one another. And I think the team that has to play defense in this game for 30 minutes loses. I think that'll be the Eagles.
This past weekend was the craziest week I can recall in the NFL. I mean, you had Jerry Jones saying what he said. You had Aaron Rodgers storming back the way that he did. Roethlisberger questioning himself postgame. Obviously, the O-line coach down in Miami and the video that went viral. J.J. Watt injured. Odell Beckham Jr. injured. And yet, if you asked me 2 days prior to kickoff at 1 p.m. on Sunday what I think the biggest story would continue to be, probably Cam Newton in his comments from a week ago, and yet they were completely forgotten because something else always pops up. And I think I learned what I've always known, is if you do something stupid, say something stupid, and that's what happened. Apologize, shut your mouth, go out there and play well, and people will forget. Yeah. And it's amazing how quickly that story went away. What are your thoughts on that, Michael?
Well, I mean, I think it was horrible. I didn't play in the NFL, so I took offense to it because you could apply that statement's been made. You know, you never played in the NFL. You don't know the NFL. Unless you've played the game, you really don't understand the game. So I get where, you know, that little bit was a slap. Maybe it was towards women, but I took it as an offensive to me as much as anything because it could imply the same way. And so he apologized, take him for his word. We move on. But I agree. I mean, the storyline coming out last week, I thought, that, you know, we on my podcast, GM Street, we always predict what the narrative is going to be from Sunday night. We haven't hit one yet. I mean, everything we think is the narrative, it turns around. Until we can get past this national anthem thing that's going on, that's going to continue to be talked about. And, you know, it's hard to really predict what the narrative is going to be. And this year, sometimes it's been way away from football and not near it.
Some people are floating out the idea that maybe the Jags should circle the Giants and, because of the Coughlin connection, take a run at Eli Manning. What do you make of that rumor and the idea that that could ever happen?
Well, I think it's, you know, look, the Jags know they don't have a quarterback. I mean, I think they've come to this realization. You know, they won a game against Pittsburgh and they threw for less than 100 yards, which was fascinating. Last week in the NFL, we had two teams throw for less than 100 yards, the Miami Dolphins and the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they both won. That usually never happens, but it did. And I think Jacksonville knows this. I think Eli has to realize, look, it's getting close to an end. I think the Giants probably need to rebuild or regroup. It's not going to be with Eli. I mean, when you just look at these four quarterbacks in the NFL right now, I just tweeted it out. I mean, most of the time when you play in the NFL and you're an experienced quarterback and you get blitzed, you know it's coming, you can get rid of the ball, and you make them pay. But when you slow down a little bit and you don't have that quick twitch and you can't play fast, like Big Ben's 28th in the NFL against the blitz. Phillip Rivers is 25th in the NFL against the blitz. Eli Manning is 22nd in the league against the blitz. And Carson Palmer's 20th. When you have four quarterbacks in those numbers, that's telling you as an executive, the guys aren't playing as well as they should. And when you look at Big Ben, just to pick on him for a moment, he can't throw the ball down the field. His average per yards per attempt has gone down significantly from 215 from the year 2015, where he was at 8.5. He's down to 6.7 now. That's another indicator that things aren't going well when you're playing.
Always great info. Always appreciate you doing this for us. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
There he is, Michael Lombardi, former NFL executive.
Quite confident in saying that we mailed that one in.
Yeah.
And loved it.
Well, he was good, and you
went a little bit.
You were Larry.
I went Larry King, but that's in my wheelhouse, man.
That is.
I hope it's going to be a fun game tonight. Panthers -3.5.
What could the NFL top this weekend?
I don't know.
More viz of the Dolphins coach, apparently
the strippers
is.
Got some.
You know what? Honestly, the fact that the Cowboys are on a bye week probably means it can't possibly match it. But that would be it. If they were playing and, like, Dak Prescott took a knee,
yeah,
there's your whole story. Then you track what Jerry Jones is going to do. Does he actually pull him from the game? Does he sit him the next game? Does he fine him? Does he take money out of his pocket? Can he take money out of his pocket? You know who would be jumping on Twitter down in D.C., and he'd be tweeting about it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That's something to track. But, I mean, storylines. Like, even the play, that's the problem, is all the nonsense outside the play, like Rodgers' game. You know, like, that's we just talked about Roethlisberger, but, like, those great storylines were overshadowed by the coach snorting coke.
And Mike Pence walking out in Indianapolis. Yeah, like, another thing that...
It's noise.
Peyton Manning, I believe, had his number retired. He had a big ceremony in Indianapolis that was totally overshadowed by Mike Pence. Manning, the greatest, him and Johnny Unitas, like the greatest Colt of all time, won them a Super Bowl, went to multiple Super Bowls, first overall pick. He is Mr. Indianapolis Colt, completely overshadowed because Pence flew in for 10 minutes to walk out.
Yeah.
Like, even that, you couldn't even focus on the greatness of Peyton Manning. But I'm hoping for a good game tonight. These are two really good teams, and we'll get to our best bets later in the afternoon. Prop Bet Thursday.
Ooh.
And like I said, man, Cam Newton, his story, that was the biggest story in sports, what he did, what he said.
Yeah.
And I was focused on what he was going to do on Sunday. By the time he was playing, it was like, all right, what else are we looking at here?
Yeah, he moved on.
There's too much else
going
on.
Like Giambi and the guys that admitted they did steroids. As soon as they admitted it, they were never talked about again, for the most part.
It didn't drag on that much.
It's for all the guys that were like, no, not me. Like,
but this was also, he got off the hook because of so many other stories that just moved ahead of him in the line.
The three-day news cycle sped up because there was 12 storylines waiting in the queue.
Exactly. If you're a journalist, you couldn't keep writing about Cam because you're like, I got to write about Pence or Jerry Jones or Chris Forrester down in Miami.
I have a correction on the Old Orchard pub. It's not on Bishop. It's on De La Montagne.
It's on Bishop.
De La Montagne.
De La Montagne.
De La Montagne.
I don't know.
In Montreal, you're
in
pointing
out. In Montreal.
It's not on Bishop.
You
it's
announce
on,
it later.
Oh, whatever.
It's on De La Montagne.
De La Montagne.
De La Montagne.
We'll be there.
Old 5 Orchard. O'clock Saturday.
Leafs, Habs, Bell Center, pregame. Be there, be square.
We'll chat then.
Bob McKenzie in studio, Jim Popp, GM of the Argos, coming up. And there's another NFL story starting to circulate featuring Roger Goodell, his wife, and Twitter. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Neil tweeting in saying, the G is silent in De La Montagne. It's French. Means mountain. Are you even Canadian, bro?
Wow.
Yeah, I got Zeds in French class.
I took 8 years of French.
Look at you.
I'm terrible at it. I hated it.
8 years and you're still brutal at it?
I understand a little bit. Un peu.
I dropped French the millisecond I could drop it.
Come on,
well, isn't it mandatory? Is it mandatory in the school system here?
Yeah, oh yeah, up until grade 10 or something.
Yeah.
Comme ci, comme ça?
That was always my go-to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's okay.
Comme ci, comme ça. Ah, he's just okay. That was Randy. Imagine that's how he responded. What do you think of Reimer tonight?
Nah.
Comme ci, comme ça.
He should have said that.
That would have been outstanding.
That wouldn't have caused that big of a stir.
Who, James Reimer? Yeah. Comme ci, comme ça.
You know what? That's
comme ci, comme ça.
We need a French bit now.
That we do.
Like, who was come see, come saw last night?
I think we might have to create come see, come saw. Don't forget.
Come see, come saw.
Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Maple Leaf lineup player of the day on Friday. Call with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl seats to see Toronto take on Detroit October 18th at the ACC. The theme this week is former Maple Leafs who played for Mike Babcock. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Brad May. Mayday.
Mayday.
Brad May, the Upper Deck Maple Leaf lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Triples, available at ZypherEpic.com.
What day are we going to do come see, come saw?
Feels like a Wednesday bit because it's kind of right in the middle. Like,
that's
you're
Jerry's
okay.
Day,
I know, that's the thing. Geraldo kind of owns
that.
Why
don't we do it on Thursdays? We don't have a Thursday, you know, heading into the weekend.
All right. We got to wrap our heads around.
But we got to figure out what
it actually will be.
What it's tied to. Exactly.
All right. Let's get to the bottom of come see,
it
come
all comes
so.
Down to the sting. It's got to be like
something
well,
very
it's gotta
French.
It's got to be a French guy yelling.
Very French. Can Fergie speak French?
I don't know.
We'll get Fergie on it.
We'll get him on it.
Bob McKenzie, Jim Popp coming up, and his story about Goodell, his wife, and Twitter. We'll tell you about that next.